started to preach the gospel to the poor. You know, he has sent us to heal the brokenhearted. There's plenty of people that heart is broken nowadays, saints. They're broken. They're so broken they can't hardly lift their head up to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, we have people that's blind, and they're not, that their eyes, their natural eyes can see, but they're blinded spiritually. And these are the people that God has anointed us. Not only just the people that can't see physically, but the people that can't see spiritually. God has given us the opportunity to heal these people. And we're going to be continuing our teaching on the anointing, the power, and the supernatural abilities that God has given us. We will show you how people of the Bible use supernatural power. We look at Samson. He killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. We will pick up where we left off, if the Lord's will, in the next lessons. And I want you to keep in mind the power and the ability that God has given us. Amen and amen. I'm Wanda Bell. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast. Our address is Post Office Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Again, Post Office Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, a very familiar verse of scripture. But one I pray the Lord will give us fresh revelation on today. Certainly, this is our Youth Sunday, and we honor God for these blessed youth of ours, and we want to encourage parents to share and show what God is calling us to do and holding us up and responsible to do as it relates to our children. Proverbs 22 and 6 says, if you don't mind reading it, read. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. This 21-word text gives us a helpful, holy hint on how God perceives the responsibility of the parent raising or rearing their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord according to his word. When we look at this word, many of us are familiar with the text, but it begins with train. Train. Now this word literally means to dedicate. It literally means to equip. It literally means to teach and to share, to show, to demonstrate what the children ought to be doing. Paul said in his own writing, follow me as I follow Christ. He also said in Philippians 4:9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But now, why am I making all of this plain for us? It's to show throughout the word that there are illustrations and there are examples of leadership, of those who are responsible for those who are under them or being a part of the developmental stages that they are responsible for. Paul said, you have many teachers, but you have not many fathers. And so he deals with those who are close to him in a spiritual, fatherly context. And so whether it's the natural parents or the spiritual parents, the reality is that we must be about training our children. And one of the things that it says is train up. And the reason it says train up, it really literally means train until they are completed the training. In other words, when you train up a child, you train them up until they're no longer a child. But you have vested in them the realities of the training necessary to be able to go out on their own when the training is complete and to be successful with the tools you have equipped them with. When we look at our world today and we look at so many of our families today where there is no real teaching, no real training, our children are left to raise and rear themselves. They are looking at the world and following the world because there is no example for them at home. And so when they see things and it appeals to them and there is no correction, there is no discipline at home, then they figure that way is the best way. But notice this, it is the responsibility of the parents to train until they grow up. Train up. You don't get to stop when you get tired. You don't get to stop when they start getting a little sassy and, as the old folks say, smelling themselves. You don't get to stop when they are at that rebellious state. You've got to continue the job. And one of the things the Word of God says, which most of society today does not agree with, is that if you spare the rod, you will spoil the child. It's important. The same Proverb chapter 22, verse 15 tells you that you have the right and the responsibility to, you know, the devilment that's in children. You read it. It's Proverbs 22 and 15. Beat it out of them. Some of the older folk know what I'm talking about. You know, all this politically correct stuff is sending our children straight down the tubes. They don't listen to you. They won't listen to authorities. And so we find themselves in dilemmas that wind up bringing them to a place that God is not pleased with. And their lives end up in destruction. Listen, if you really love your child, then you be the parent and let your child be the child. You enforce the rules of the house. You let them know who is the parent. You let them know how far they can go and how far they cannot go. You can't give them everything and buy their affection and buy their love and buy their desire to be a good child. No, the Bible is clear about how you handle those things. If you train them and if you teach them, and when they get out of line, then you have all of God's responsibility to bring them back in line. Because I got news for you. If you don't do it, some other folk will. And you might not like the way they bring them back in line. So it says, train up a child in the way he should go. So that part tells us, when you have trained the child up and they have received the instructions and they have been filled with instructions that God says is right and honorable, that they honor you because it's the right thing to do, that all that God holds you responsible for, you are committed to doing it. He says, when you have trained them up and they're getting ready to go out on their own, point them in the right direction. I've heard parents say, well, you know, I'm going to let them make up their own mind. Really? See, one of the things you've got to realize is they don't know the way you do. And what you've got to recognize is there are so many temptations. There are so many issues and so many areas where the enemy is looking to bring them into that place of irrepute. You have got to point them in the right direction with the correction that you've given them, with the directions that the Lord says you ought to do in the way that they should go. Because when they get to the point where it's time to make a decision, they need to be able to know at this point what's right from wrong, what's good from bad, what's up from down. All of those things, so much so that you don't have to worry about releasing your child when the time comes, because there is a point in time where you are to release the child that you've trained. Now, if you've not gotten this message thus far, which makes clear that you can't hold on to them for life, there is a point in time when they are grown up that you're going to have to release them. But it's your responsibility to have made sure that they have been properly equipped. Equipped. You need to teach them responsibility. You need to teach them accountability. You need to let them know that, listen, you can't lay up here and just enjoy things here, and I'm doing all of this for you, and you're not doing anything for yourself. They argue with you when you tell them, take out the trash, wash the dishes, do this, do that. Oh, my, nothing. See, mothers bringing their children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord used to tell you, if I have to tell you one more time, it won't be nice for you. And so when you train them up and they know they can't get away with that foolishness, they stop trying. And so when it tells us to point them in the right direction, it is so they will know the way that God wants them to go. Now listen, between this part of the text, when it talks about train up a child in the way he should go, then it says, and when he is old. Now, there seems to be a gap between pediatrics and geriatrics. There is a time once you have trained them up and you have directed them in the right path that you've got to release them and let them go without fear of what they're going to do, because you have trained them, have taught them correctly. Now, here's what you need to know. That when that time comes when you direct them and release them, that there is going to be a time of choices and decisions and challenges. And the tempter is going to come and try and challenge them in the opposite direction. But if you have prepared them for the tempter, Satan, and whatever his or her name is, you make it clear that God only honors what's right. You make it clear, at this point, I can't make choices for you. You have got to make the choices, but be mindful of this, that you're also going to have to suffer the consequences of your choices. You see, one of the things you have got to realize, parents, is the fact that when you release them, your responsibility is to make sure that they are ready to go. The Bible talks about God looking over Israel, and he uses an analogy about the eagle fluttering over her young. And he says in the text that, so the Lord alone did lead them. Now, let me help you understand what this said. If you know the story about eagles and how when they are rearing their baby eaglets up, there is a comfortable nest in which the eaglets rest. The eagles, mothers, etc., have made preparation so that the nest would be comfortable for the babies. They don't have to fight for the food. They don't have to hunt for the food. Mama brings the food in and feeds each one of them individual in the nest. But as the eaglets begin to grow, mother begins to pick out the soft cotton, the soft lining of the nest, and allow some of the thorns and the sticky parts of the branches to make it uncomfortable for the eaglets in the nest. The reason the mother does that is because the eaglets need to know, I'm just rearing you right so you can be on your own. You're not going to stay in the nest all your life. And so as the eaglets get larger and larger, more and more that is comfortable in the nest is pulled out the nest until the eaglets are uncomfortable. It gets tight in the nest. There's not a whole lot of moving room around in the nest. And when that mother eagle sees that those eaglets are ready to stretch out their wings, she takes one at a time and pulls them out the nest, and she flies high in the air, and she puts that bird on her back, and she lets the bird feel the air in his face, how the air flows through the wings. And then when the mother thinks that the eaglet is comfortable on her back, she flips over and lets the little eaglet fall down. But she's taking them up high enough so that while the eaglet is falling and fluttering down, she scoops under him and puts him back on her back, and then flies up even higher and flip over again and drops down the little eaglet. And then finally she does that several times, and the little eaglet finally catches on while it's fluttering and trying to get itself together. It stretches out its wing and it stops falling and begins to soar. And then she takes them back to the nest and get another one and repeats the process. And she keeps on doing that until the eaglet knows that it's time for you to be on your own. Why can't parents do what the eagles do? You want to talk about bird brain, bird sense? Those birds have a lot more sense than we give them credit for. You got children who are no longer children, who are old children. In our house, never took responsibility for life, never took responsibility for themselves. They have remained in the nest. And we've handicapped them. And they never find their purpose in life. Listen, my brothers and sisters, don't hold your child beyond the time for that child to be out on their own. Many times parents do that because they've not done their job correctly. If the child who's being trained is not completed in the training, then many times the problem is with the trainer who has been incompetent. They've not done what they were supposed to do. And so when you let your children know what thus saith the Lord and hold fast to that, you prepare them for what is waiting in that world, and everything that's there, God is going to honor according to his word. Now look, it says, when he is old, he will not depart from that training. So that means this. From the time you release them to the time they take responsibility for their life, the parents have to enter into a covenant with God for their children. That three things, at least, you ought to be in covenant with God about concerning your children. First, to cover them. Cover them. Here's why. You've released them now. They're no longer in your hands. But as a parent, you don't stop your concern for them. You're always keeping them in your mind, in your heart. But you can't do much about what they do and how they move from that point when they are released from you. But if you are in covenant with God for your children, like many of the women in the Bible did, they entered into a covenant with God. But the thing was first to cover them, to do what they could not do once they left the home. When your child leaves the home, listen, there's a big world out there. They're bright-eyed, and there's so much that they're looking at. There's so much that's before them. And so there is going to be a time when they make some choices that won't be the best choice. They'll make some decisions that won't be the best decisions. They'll get with people who are not trained and not taught and who do not know the Lord, and they'll see the difference between their morality and theirs. And so they will find out that the very things that they have chosen to do not mesh underneath the skin. The Spirit of the living God is with them, telling them that's not the right way. This is not the right thing to do. Why? Because you've made them God conscious. And so you ask God to cover them. The next thing you do is you ask God to convince them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life for themselves and in their decisions. By now, yes, they would be saved, but they are immature Christians. There are some things that they are going to have to learn on their own. There are some places they're going to go, some experiences they're going to have, and many of them, if God does not convince them that his way, through his word, his will, and his way is the best way, and for the believer, the only way, they're going to find themselves going down a destructive path. The same way the prodigal son did. He was properly trained, reared, and matured in the things of knowledge and of faith. And yet when he got his money and was released from his father, there were some things in his heart that he wanted to do, and that's why he went far away from his father, because he didn't want his father to know about what he wanted to do, and he didn't want anybody who knew him to tell the father. He had that much respect to try and move far away in a far country to live this riotous life. And when he did, and the Bible says, and he spent all that he had, he lost his inheritance, making the wrong choices and the wrong decisions, not because he had not been trained right, but because once he was on his own, he was responsible for his own decisions. Parents, you need to know, when you train them up right, you can't keep on holding on and making decisions for them. That's not how it works. You've got to learn to release them into the hand of God. You've got to learn to release them in the confidence of God, covering them and convincing them that his way is the only way. And when the prodigal son found himself in a hog's pen, feeding the hogs and then eating their slop, Bible says he came to himself and he said, how many hired servants have my father who have food and enough to spare? Listen to what he says. I will arise. I'm going to get out this mess. I don't belong in this mess. He came to himself. What does he came to himself mean? He reckoned with his training. Something on the inside reminded him of who he was and whose he was. And he should not be in the predicament he's in, but it was nobody's fault but his own. He didn't leave his father forward in the dress. He didn't tell his brother or his family where he was. He wanted to be a runaway child, running wild. But when he hit rock bottom, he remembered the training. What I'm trying to tell you is, I can't say that our children are going to be perfect. And let me give you a short reminder, because we weren't perfect. I know right now you look all holy and sanctified and all pious, like you've been holy all your life. But there are some folk who remember when you were out there. Some folk remember when you used to wear your skirts short. Some folk knew how you used to act and what you used to say, but you came to yourself.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry. Partner with this ministry. and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you